It's another episode of the Knock Combination Podcast Show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That would be JT Holton.
In case you didn't know.
And that would be Josh Brown.
Hey!
And this is the Knock Combination Podcast Show you're listening to. In case you didn't realize that when you fired up the old app and turned it on.
Y'all say forehead or forehead?
In case you didn't know.
But I bet your grandma says forehead.
Exactly what song that is. It just
Kenny, move your seemed right. Move your camera. I can't see. I can only see your. Yeah, there
is
we
better?
Go.
What about the 50 Sorry. Estate? Is it Hawaii or Hawaii?
I usually say forehead.
My grandma says Hawaii.
I'm used to people that say forehead. Yeah, forehead, I'm used to forehead.
It's golf, not golf. Golf.
Do y'all say forehead? Poem or poem? But some people say poem.
Yeah, I've heard Hawaii. Yep.
I've never heard anybody say Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, I have for sure.
Well, I mean,
poem.
Poem.
I don't think I've heard that. Now, my dad, when I was a kid, he got better in older age, but he always said the library. He go to the library.
Huh.
Yeah. A lot of folks say that. I've known a lot of people that said the library. Have you been to the library to get a book?
That is weird.
Yep. Hey, do you guys ever just randomly have the realization that
I thought he was still married to Demi
Kelso
Moore.
Kelso grew up and actually married Jackie.
I'll be real with you guys. I didn't even know that until you guys texted it to me.
Yeah.
The other night. That blew my mind.
That. Yeah, they got divorced in, what, 2015? And now he's got, like, two or three kids with Mila Kunis.
I had no idea.
Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. I mean, that. We
Kelso
watched,
married Jackie.
Yeah. Like
he did it.
He actually did it. I mean, it's proof that really dumb people can succeed in life, even though it's not real, and Ashton Kutcher's probably pretty smart.
Speaking of Ashton Kutcher being smart, wasn't Punk'd like a really good show? That was
I missed that.
That
was
such
fun.
A good show.
Punk and Chappelle's show were the last ones you had on DVD. Yeah. As far as TV shows go.
I still got one. Dude, next time you guys are up here.
Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Combination podcast show. Oh, you're listening to that Knock Combination podcast show.
Here, we should totally like this is like a bro. We drink beer and we watch this DVD. Dave Attell.
Ooh.
Insomniac?
Yes! I've got it on DVD.
I remember watching it. I didn't think he was funny. I remember watching it, and I didn't think he was funny back then.
Oh, man. Well, it wasn't so much about him being – he wasn't the funniest, but the show was just like him hanging out in fucking New Orleans until 6 a.m.
Making stuff up the whole time.
Making stuff up, and like he hangs out with like a cop for – an hour and they go
on
a
patrol. Where he goes to the dirt track and he's like, yeah, Booger Pierce. And like, they get in a fight.
So. Yeah.
Josh,
he shoots a Nutra from the back of a boat. It's
what
like,
was the comedian got canceled for like masturbating or whatever?
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. Always like at that
the only
time
comedian
in my
to
life.
Ever masturbate.
At that time in my
I
life.
I love Dave Chappelle's bit on that about how he's like.
He
comes on himself like it like
what's there's never a more shameful moment in a man's life than that one, you know.
Yeah. And Dave Chappelle's just shitting all over, you know, the hysteria about it. He's like, how threatening can you be when you're you know what I mean? Like
yeah. But anyway, I always thought Dave Attell and Louis C.K. were a lot alike. And at that time in my life anyway, like I kinda almost thought they were the same guy. If you'd have asked me, I might would have like carried on a conversation like I thought they were the other guy, you know. I don't know. But
okay.
It was weird.
The show Punk'd so good.
Yeah, I remember watching a little bit of it and I never could get into it though. I'm not a guy that likes hardcore trolling people. So it was just never my thing. Oh. I can see why it would be yours though. Just saying.
Mm. It inspired Josh Brown to get a Twitter account.
It wasn't so much of trolling, it was just pranks. That was, you know, he would prank these famous people, you know?
Yeah.
It's great.
And now you're like, I'm going to get this guy to ask what Bofa is.
I remember this episode with Nick Lachey and Ashley Simpson, I think it was. Or Jessica Simpson. And they punked them. That's like the only episode I think I even
He did JT. Justin Timberlake.
Oh.
He
wishes.
Another good show? Like, no, I'm not going to say. You guys are going to make fun of me. It wasn't that good.
It's too late now. You've already started. What show?
Cribs.
I liked Cribs. I liked Cribs.
I liked who is the was it Method Man maybe?
Red Man. Where he put the wires together to ring his own doorbell.
Yeah, he lives in like some shitty apartment and like he kept his money in a shoebox on top of the fridge and his cousin was like sleeping on the floor.
I was about to say that. That was my favorite episode.
Second favorite episode was Moby. I'm no Moby fan, although I did maybe have a CD of Moby in college. But Moby had some shitty apartment with like a bookshelf.
If you want to embarrass like Josh, desk. I guarantee you Josh watched this show. If you watched that much MTV, 100% Josh, do not lie. Did you watch Undressed?
Which one was Undressed?
No. You never watched Undressed?
No.
At all.
Swear to God.
It was the MTV like late night series that was about college kids and having sex.
Oh, it was like a fake show. I never
watched it.
It was like a real show. It wasn't a documentary.
It was like Saved by the Bell, the college years, except it was completely inappropriate. Right. Didn't have any actual like porn elements to it. It was just like all about college kids trying to have sex with each other and all the stuff. I just remember it because I remember watching like one season of it or something.
I watched Pimp My Ride.
Oh, I remember that.
Was that on MTV?
Exhibit.
And he was always happy. Yeah, he was always like super positive and super happy. And it was always like some chick who worked at the fucking Dollar General, you know, and she got, you know, her cousin,
Exhibit is the youth pastor version of oh my God, my mind just went blank on his name. What's his name?
DMX,
that's his name. DMX. Oh, okay,
what I loved about Pimp My Ride is it would take somebody's 87 Tercel and be like, okay, yeah, now your exhaust blows bubbles.
Yeah.
By the way, it's still got 300,000 miles on it.
Right. Yeah. We didn't fix the car. We just fixed it up.
But now you have an N64 in the back seat.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still a piece of junk.
And if you're like a Seattle Seahawks fan, they make it like a giant Seahawks wrap, the same colors. Yeah. They'll put carpet in
it. Now, under the hood, but it still barely runs.
Yeah, but to his defense, though, it was called Pimp My Ride. It wasn't called Fix My Car. It was called Pimp My Ride.
100%.
What if the show is they just buy him a new car?
Well, did you ever see the show that Exhibit got into after that where it was like Pimp My RV and all this stuff? And like got into like the Pimp My RV stuff and it was on CMT and Exhibit was on CMT and all this
stuff. Whatever happened to CMT, by the way? Isn't that sad?
Well, they stopped. It's like MTV. They stopped showing actual music videos.
I discovered MTV Classic the other day. Oh. I have a channel apparently on my dial while searching for a Nickelodeon for my kids. I came across MTV Classic and they were showing the music video to Linger by the Cranberries. Apparently, they just show music videos from the 90s. And I gotta tell you, that seems so dumb, but I was fascinated. I want to watch it all day long.
Wow. Did you guys watch Pop Up Video?
Loved Pop Up Video.
I never watched it.
No. You never watched Pop Up Video?
I didn't have MTV until I was like a senior in high school, which VH1, also means maybe. I didn't have VH1 either. Oh, I didn't have
Pop Up Video. So much knowledge gained from watching Pop Up
Video. It was basically like you'd be watching a music video, and hence the name Pop Up.
Oh, you'd see
like a little pop up of like like Alanis Morissette would be jamming out.
I remember seeing that. I wouldn't have known the show, but
and in the middle of the song, it'd be like, "Blip, she wrote this song when she was 12." Blip, blip, blip. Yeah,
I do remember that. I do remember that. Did you guys watch Carson Daly?
Oh yeah, man. TRL or the MTV Beach House?
I did not watch TRL most days, but the first time I ever tuned into TRL was the day that Carson Daly's girlfriend shows up and she's pushing a cart and she's handing out ice cream to everyone. And you know who his girlfriend happened to be?
Tara Reid. It was Tara Reid at one point. Was it Mariah Carey?
And she had a mental breakdown live on TRL.
Complete mental breakdown.
It's probably the only episode I ever watched start to finish of TRL, but I'll never forget that one because it was the craziest episode
I didn't know they did anything I'd ever seen.
Yeah, it was
only
it was
time wild. I ever watched an entire episode. So in high school, I went to Roswell High School, and in Roswell, Georgia, still in Roswell, Georgia, there's two Waffle Houses on the same exit. Mm-hmm. On the 400 Holcomb Bridge exit, there's your northbound Waffle House.
Is there a good one and a bad one, or like basically, shady and not shady?
Yeah, well, like the northbound Waffle House, like the Milton kids went to, or the Centennial kids went to, maybe. The southbound Waffle House was what we went to, and our waiter was this black guy named Peanut. I don't know his real name, and Peanut wouldn't shut the fuck up about his rap group. Like that's all he talked about.
Yeah.
And we were, and this was like before MySpace, like before all that, like. You know, we just had CDs.
He sell you a CD out of the back of his car?
And, you know, me and my best friend Chris Bartelski, we were in a band, so we'd talk about our band, and then he'd tell us about his band. Well, one day, we're in there, and Peanut tells us that he is going to be on TRL tomorrow. And we're like, shut the front door. And we watched it, and he was on the show. His Atlanta rap group. I don't even know who this guy was. Maybe he's famous now. I have no idea. I don't remember the name of the band or anything. This was like 2000, 2001. But yeah, Peanut's rap group was on MTV. So maybe it's something about the name Peanut and Waffle House.
Because, okay, Josh, you've been to my exit, right? Let's go backwards about 15 years in time. Okay, at the time, there was an old McDonald's, not the nice one you know now.
Right.
The old school McDonald's had the playground, all that kind of stuff. We had a McDonald's.
Chick-fil-A obviously wasn't there.
No Chick-fil-A. No Bojangles.
Antique Mall was there.
Antique Mall was there, but it was not an antique mall. It was just like storage.
Oh.
Okay, so there was McDonald's. There was Hardee's. There was an old school Arby's that they've since torn down.
That's sad.
And there was Burger King. And that was all we had. Except they had an old Waffle House right across the bridge, and they built a new Waffle House on the other side. And they kept them both open less than a quarter mile from each other on that little bitty exit.
Wow.
And
see, that it made sense in Roswell, but that's weird. That is weird.
The old Waffle House was scary. You didn't eat at the old Waffle House because you might get mugged walking to your car.
JT, how many beers is that for you tonight?
Three.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Then the new Waffle House was clean. But the new Waffle House has a waitress that still works there to this day, and her name is Peanut, and she only has one full arm. The other arm stops right here. And Peanut is just, I mean, like, she carries your food out all stacked up on her one half arm. And
she does all that?
That might.
Wow, she deserves
that
a hand.
Wow. My Peanut favorite Granny. Waffle House, I've got so many Waffle House stories. Mm-hmm. From seeing boobs in a Waffle House to
that's just not a good story.
College,
I'm sure.
Being drunk. My favorite Waffle House story is probably Rome, Georgia. East Rome Waffle House, baby. Relatively recently. I don't know if he works there still, but they had a cook there named Ricky. And Ricky! For whatever reason, Ricky was a huge Miami Dolphins fan. He'd always be sporting like some Dolphin swag or a hat or something along with his Waffle House cooking attire. Well, I used to go with Morgan Lamp Smith, who you guys were talking about. Me and Morgan Lamp Smith would go to Waffle House, and Ryan Smith sometimes too. And Morgan told me one night that, you know, Morgan had been to this Waffle House, the East Rome Waffle House, for years. Like, they knew his name. Like, if it's Morgan's birthday, they would give him a birthday card and shit. Like, he's like that guy, you know? And one night, he's like, dude, one night when it's not busy, we got to get Ricky to make some meatloaf. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, man, when it's not busy, Ricky will make meatloaf. I'm like, shut the front door. There's no meatloaf on the menu at Waffle House, you know? So right, my mind is being blown. He's like, yeah, he makes this kick-ass meatloaf. So, you know, the next couple times, it was a little too busy for him to do it because apparently it takes him a while. You got to get him on a really slow night. So one night, it was like Monday or Tuesday or something. It was like 11:30. It's dead. And we asked him, we're like, hey, Ricky, could you make us some meatloaf? And I think he rung it up, like on the ticket, it said like patty melt or something, but it wasn't a patty melt. And he made us a fucking meatloaf, man. He got some like some ground Waffle House meat or whatever and put in some crackers and did all kinds of stuff to it. Basically made a Dutch oven style in the back left eye of the burner. And also, if you go there and you ask Ricky to make meatloaf, it takes him about an hour to do it properly. Like, this is like Ricky's meatloaf.
Sure.
And it's an experience that you'll never have anywhere else in the entire world. And you sit there, you drink coffee, you listen to Jukebox, and Ricky makes you a kick-ass meatloaf.
Interesting.
At the East Drum Waffle House.
Wow.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I think Ricky got transferred to the Cartersville or to a Cartersville Waffle House. No. No. He got transferred to the Cedartown Waffle House, of which there is only one in Cedartown.
Oh, well, rip Ricky's meatloaf because he won't have time to cook it anymore. Not in Cedartown. Yeah. Hey, fellas, the NFL draft is coming up, and this week they did a mock draft, apparently, and apparently couldn't even get the first pick in because it didn't work right. Now, fellas, check this out. We've been doing fantasy football drafts for 20 years with different league owners, leagues up to 16 teams deep. For 20 years, we've been doing this. Don't even have to get together. Totally, we've been practicing quarantine life for 20 years doing this and have had zero problems doing fantasy drafts. But the NFL can't do a single fantasy draft? Like, what?
Well, I think they probably have different, you know, you're the computer guy here, Ken, so you tell me, but I think they're working with different systems than we are.
Well, yeah, but they're also like a $10 billion a year corporation. Why don't you just have Yahoo,
yes,
like,
with a bunch of old men that don't know what they're
doing.
Yeah,
but just have Yahoo adjust it. I mean, like, literally my fantasy baseball group has a bunch of old men that don't know what they're doing. They figure it out.
Oh, they text all the time.
God, they do, don't they? They never
all the time. My wife's like, who's that? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah, JT is going to be in my fantasy league, and then we haven't had baseball, so it's been really awkward for him.
They've had turkey hunting, though. Lord, have they ever. I'm interested to see how it works out. Like, to be honest with you, I'm so excited for the NFL draft. Like, I love the draft every year, but now, like, it's something. Like, it's anything I can sink my teeth. It's sports. It's something. It's an event. Anything new to talk about is just so welcome.
I told my wife
Please.
The same thing about the Michael Jordan documentary. She watched it with me, and we were like, man, this was really good. We haven't had sports in forever.
But it's a communal viewing experience we haven't had in a long
time. It's kind of like
everybody can sit around and talk about it.
Yeah, like Tiger King or whatever.
Yeah, kind of like Tiger King, but people watch that at different segments. Mm-hmm. But like, like NFL draft, I can't wait. I can't wait, man. I'm going to be decked. I'm going to put my jersey on. I'm going to have my hat on. And I'm going to sit there and wait for the Jaguars to butcher two first-round picks and be sorely disappointed in both of them. And I can't wait. I'm so excited for this.
Josh, have you ever been part of a like good fantasy sports league at all?
Or a good fantasy?
No, I've only done that fantasy baseball with those 20-grade losers, Randy and like Garavin, those guys, Jay Dunna.
Yeah.
Those emotional, insecure pansies that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. No, I've never been in a formidable league with anybody that with a brain before, but I'd be open to it.
Yeah. Well, like, in our fantasy league, we do different things. Like, if you lost last year, you have to wear, like, it's like a Miss Georgia pageant type ribbon that says,
That's called
baseball.
Hazing, and that is
100%
not cool anymore.
And
that's pretty terrible.
Some friends do things like they make water bets during the year, and if you lose the water bets, then at the draft, you get that many numbers of bottles of water dumped over you, and you have to draft – in your soaking wet clothes. Or I've had other friends do more vicious
things. See, this sounds fun to me. I would be into this.
Right, right. So, like, if you bet with your buddy that you're going to finish higher than him in fantasy and you don't, then you lose the bet and all bets have to be paid off by the draft.
Is this the 10th time JT's peed this episode?
I think it is.
Like, okay, can we – he's gone right now. Kenny, can we just come to – because he's not going to hear this.
Yeah.
Like, this is like his third beer.
Mm-hmm.
Or fourth beer.
I think his bladder – he said it was his third. I think his bladder is just teeny tiny.
If he says it's his third, does that really mean it's his fifth?
JT's a pretty straight-up guy. I don't think he's lying to us.
Okay, all right.
And it's been like 3 hours, so it's not like that's some immaculate amount.
It's not. It's not. I'm not saying that. But maybe he had a couple before the podcast, and this is his third during the podcast. He's not lying to us, but he's not being completely forthcoming with us. You know, given the situation of him, you know, going to rehab, I don't know, a month ago, I feel like it's our... You know, I mean, it's okay to be a little concerned about our friend JT before he comes back from his bathroom break.
I mean,
I've never heard this before.
Fine, if you're concerned about our friend JT and his.
Anyways, the draft. Who are the Falcons going to draft this year?
The Falcons?
Yeah.
They're going to. What about my urinary tract? What are you talking
about? Nothing at all.
Speaking of draft,
yeah.
Got quite the draft going on. What'd you say?
We're talking about the draft. Who are the Falcons going to draft? A quarterback? Maybe they'll finally get a good quarterback.
They've traded up to the top five. They're trying to trade up into the top five. That's what I'd heard.
Where are they at now?
Maybe they'll get a quarterback.
I think they're at like 8, 10. I don't know. 11?
I think they're like 15. I tell you, a guy wouldn't be surprised they pick Javon Kinlaw, South Carolina. Only because. College coach is Will Muschamp. Dan Quinn was his defensive coordinator when Muschamp coached in Florida. Need a lot of help on the defensive line. Pair him with Grady Jarrett. I think – and Kinlaw, Kenny, you watched that game against South Carolina that Georgia played. He dominated. He's a man.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah, a lot of people, though, saying they think Atlanta's trading into the top five to try to either get Okuda or Simmons.
Okuda would be great. Simmons, I don't know where he goes. He's kind of a guy that is a – jack of all trades, master of none. I think Okuda is a day one lockdown corner. Like, no doubt. Like,
yeah, the problem with – okay, so this
you're
going
to trade above
Falcons.
3 to get Okuda, though, because I think he's going to Detroit.
Okay. The Falcons trying – I think Detroit may trade down is the only thing. But this is the weird thing about the Falcons. They like to get cornerbacks in the first round, which I understand. But then they play – all zone coverage and don't ever actually play man-to-man. It's like, what? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I mean, a lot of that is just scheme-driven and how they want to do it. But, yeah, it makes no sense to invest. But but to be fair, they haven't had a corner that's worthy of a top-three pick like Okuda is. Or say they stay where they're at and hope – maybe they trade up a spot or two and hope C.J. Henderson from Florida falls to them. But those are both guys that can be – you know, premier shutdown corners. Desmond Trufant was a decent player, but he wasn't – you wouldn't put him in the league of like a Darrell Revis or a Patrick Peterson or a Richard Sherman, like a guy who like, okay, we can match this guy on their best receiver, and I feel good about it, you know?
Yeah. I got you.
Like, they were players that were good, but it weren't like – you know, you didn't feel like, okay, we can take their guy out of the equation.
I think the big question for the Falcons will be how many people trade up to get quarterbacks. Because, you know, I truly don't believe Tua drops past 4. I think Joe Burrow's going to be number 1. And it just really depends how high is Jalen Hurts' stock going to get before the draft. You know, I mean, is Jalen Hurts going to be a top 10? Is he going to be a top 5? Because teams do stupid things about quarterbacks, you know, and so I'm curious what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I think you got Burrow, Tua not getting past Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert is the guy that could possibly be taken above Tua. Just and it's hard to know how teams really feel about these guys because they haven't been able to visit pro days. You can't say, oh, they flew in this guy for workouts. We have no way of knowing who they met with on Zoom. You know, really, and you know how teams like to play this close to the vest. Well, you can't play it any closer than that. Like, you know, we have no idea how to tell who's interested in who. So there's going to be a few surprises in this because we're just going on guesswork because we can't say, hey, the Dolphins have flown in this guy for 5 times. You know what I mean? So sometimes there's some indication.
Right, right.
Sometimes that's done as a total smoke show to throw people off the scent of what you really want, you know? So,
Josh, I'll ask you this, Josh. Joe Burrow or Tua
Tagovailoa? You know,
is going to be the better NFL quarterback?
I don't even want to go down this. This is a trap.
I'm not going to trap you.
Because I'm going to say Tua, you're going to tell me 12 reasons why Joe Burrow's a better quarterback than Tua. Tua's not even that good and blah, blah, blah. I don't even want to hear it right now. I'm not in the mood.
I was actually, thank you for listening, going to say that I believe Tua Tagovailoa will be a much better NFL quarterback than Joe Burrow.
No, you don't think that. You're full of shit.
I do think that.
Stop.
Do you know there's no current left-handed quarterbacks in the NFL, starters or backups?
I did. You want to know how I knew that? I just watched like 13 hours of Peyton's Place.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It's so the best good. Show ever. I know.
I just watched the one with Brett Favre. It's so good.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning is so entertaining. Yeah.
I watched the one with the Bears guys.
He's so good. He's so natural. He's
hilarious.
Off the cuff. Yeah, super talented. there's so many more you have to watch. I watched the one.
Brett Favre. I got all of them. I saw it on. And I was like, record series. I'll watch them all.
I watched the one pre Last Dance with him and the Bears.
I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Where he gets baptized in rib juice or whatever and comes up with the Mike Ditka mustache and everything. Yeah. And
he does a really good one with Chris Carter.
Yes, throwing that off the building.
I always forget Chris Carter was such a badass because I think of him now as a TV person. I'm like, oh yeah.
He was, dude. He was amazing.
He was amazing.
So good. I like the one he did with Brett Favre, and he talked about the touchdown pass on the second play of the game that Brett Favre had in the Super Bowl, where he audibled to Razor, which was Joe Montana's famous audible that he had back in Super Bowl 1990. That back then it was, Peyton would get the line and say, Omaha, Omaha. When Montana played, it was 86 Razor, 86 Razor. So then fast forward to Peyton Manning being on Saturday Night Live, and he has that skit where he's doing the United Way, where he's throwing the ball at kids. It showed the skit, and Peyton Manning audibles to Razor in the skit as a nod to Brett Favre and Joe Montana, thinking they would get the joke. Like, that was hilarious to me. Like, it's so cool. Like, and he is so funny off the cuff. Oh, my gosh. He's hilarious.
Yeah. I've heard him speak at a leadership conference. Terrible.
Well, he's funny. Absolutely.
Really?
Like, he's.
Yeah. Huh. You would think he's terrible as a speaker, though. I've also heard he's a total jerk behind the scenes.
I don't want to believe that. I don't believe it.
I know people that actually met him, and they're like, yeah, he's a total jerk. And jerk, I guess, probably being...
Maybe he had a bad day.
I think it's probably the whole Michael Jordan jerk thing. Like, I'm rich. I'm tired of signing autographs.
Yeah. Maybe they were grown men trying to get their toys signed.
And I also think Peyton Manning cusses a lot from what I've heard. Like, a whole lot. Like, makes Josh Brown seem kind of clean mouth.
Well, they said that that line that Brett Favre has, and there's something about Mary. And they're like, Brett Favre, what are you doing here? And he said... I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass. They said that they had written some vanilla line for him, and he's like, I'm not going to say that. And they're like, well, what would you say? And that's the line he gave, and they're like, yeah, go with that. It's way better.
Here's the thing about cussing. I think we should talk about this. I'm not going to pretend I'm the best cusser, but I try to be a tasteful cusser. You know, like I learned from some of the best in the world, my Uncle David, my Aunt Jan, Roseanne, growing up watching that, and Married with Children. But the best cussers are...
They didn't actually cuss in that show, Josh.
Roseanne? They said ass, an asshole, right?
I don't think they said asshole on CBS in 1993, Josh.
Or damn it?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I thought they did.
I think they wanted you to think they did, but like Al Bundy really didn't be like, "Fuck you, Peg." Like
he didn't say the
ones actually in the show.
We're watching it. Me and Nikki are watching it now. We didn't. He cusses though. Like they say ass and damn it, and I think they say shit. They didn't say the F word though.
I tell you, I was a little taken aback watching The Last Dance and hearing Michael Jordan say fuck the first time. I was like,
yeah,
it was weird.
Really? Yeah.
What I'm getting at
is, you know,
is
they shared a clean version of it on ESPN2.
Josh is getting frazzled here.
I saw him.
What I was getting at is the proper way to cuss. It's like. A good analogy of this is the tomahawk chop, okay? The proper way to do the chop is when it's appropriate. You don't do the chop the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say the F word every other word
let it happen
in every
organically.
Sentence. You let it happen organically, and you say it when you mean it, when it's appropriate. And when you do that, it means mm-hmm. more, you know, and there's more a little more shock factor.
It's like telling your wife that you love her every second you see her. Versus
right.
the right moment.
Right.
So, like, cussing is like telling your wife
when,
you love
when
her.
I, yeah,
exactly.
When I'm getting a text message from you guys in the group text, and I see one from Josh and it contains an F-bomb, I don't pay much attention to it. When Jeff Donahue or John Howard uses a colorful word, then I know what.
JT, those guys don't use colorful words.
Textually, they may.
Doesn't happen. Just saying, doesn't happen. They always say really sweet, nice things. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Cussing is not a personality trait. What you're saying.
I'll be in the middle here in regards to their language.
Well, people that cuss too much is totally a personality trait.
I'll say
it makes them obnoxious.
Donahue doesn't cuss per se, but the stuff that he says is worse than any cuss word. You know what I mean? The shit that him and his mind is dirtier than any word
Josh,
could ever.
No, Josh,
be.
He is a pure saint.
No, he's not.
We're not allowed to share anything that may or may not have ever
is his
been
wife
shared
listening?
In a conversation.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot he got mad about that. Like
yeah.
a month
ago. He got mad.
Which was weird because I thought he got mad.
Okay,
yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah, he got butthurt. I think he was. Yeah, he was legit mad.
Because I said it was like Bob Saget?
I'm going to chalk. Yeah, he got mad. He got upset about that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I think he was hangry. Honestly, because I think I know Jeff enough to know that, like, I don't think he was. I don't. Because I think he's really cool. Because I remember seeing that and seeing his reaction and just, like, you know, backing off and not saying a damn thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think he was just hangry.
He got mad at me when I told. I said something that. He would wear the shoes that Steph Curry came out with because it looked like K-Swiss. And he was like, first of all, how dare you say that I would wear K-Swiss? And I was like, the week before, Jeff, I called you a whore for going on Chatting Average. And you didn't say a dime about that. And now you called me out because I said you would wear K-Swiss. That's weird that you get mad at that. I think you get way madder at me for saying the other thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
For those who may not know, Jeff Donahue, we all know.
Finkel is Einhorn.
Donahue is fully responsible for all content coming from the show. In fact, he is our executive producer. So if you don't like something about Knock Home and Nation, you might as well tell all your friends that Jeff. Donahue is the reason. So if you hate Knock Home Nation, Jeff Donahue is the reason that you hate
Listen,
Knock Home
Nation. He funds this entire machine. How else do you think I got that badass truck in my driveway? You think I bought that off patron money? I don't think so, baby. It's Donahue bucks.
Yeah. Jeff Donahue yeah. told Donahue me today bucks, that baby. Scottie Pippen was broke. And it makes a lot of sense that
Scottie yeah. Pippen has a net worth of $50 million.
I know, right? Like
he's poor.
He was of the poors. You know the only reason that an NBA player that makes $18 million over 6 years would be poor? Cocaine. Let's be 100% honest here.
That's true.
I'm not saying that was Scottie Pippen's problem.
Although with that nose. Good Lord, that's a lot of cocaine going that bad boy.
So, JT, what is up with your Jaguars? Like, I mean, okay, so tell me this. Is it the worst front office in the NFL as far as player relations, or is it something about like the culture of the organization or what? Because like no player actually wants to play for the Jaguars more than a year.
Can it be both?
Yeah, probably.
Well, for one thing, let's start with the obvious. There is a fan base. People believe this not to be true, but it is. There is a fan base in Jacksonville. These are people that kind of see themselves as the redneck Green Bay. You know, there is a brand, the Duval thing, us against the world, because it's no one takes us seriously as a franchise and as a city. So there is a, although small in number, there is a very loyal fan base there. Second thing is, Jacksonville is just not known as a great city to live in for, I say this with a caveat, for like a 22-year-old athlete. It's a great place for us to live. Kenny, there's beach and there's country and there's great golf courses and great restaurants. Right. The weather is outstanding. It's awesome. But if you're 22, you're looking for like nightclubs and bars.
It's not Miami. Yeah, it's not Miami. Yeah. It's not Southeast. Well, right. Or New Orleans. Or,
if we're in Atlanta, you know, we're probably not going to run into Julio Jones because he just goes out to bars that we just don't go to, that we just can't afford to get in, those kind of things.
Right. Or we're too white to get in.
Exactly. Now, when I was in college in Jacksonville, I met Maurice Jones-Drew, who's an all-pro running back, at the bar because there's nowhere else to go out. That is the bar you go to. There is, you only got a handful of selections. So, Jacksonville as a city just doesn't have the same cachet as playing in New York, Chicago, L.A. I get that. So that's always part of why people don't want to go there. I mean, honestly, how excited would you be if you got drafted Thursday to the Jaguars?
I mean, I would be pumped because I'd be making money. I'm just
paycheck
saying,
aside, like, But if it was between, you know, say Houston or Jacksonville or Los Angeles.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, if you're talking about like a Green Bay, people are excited to go play in Green Bay, and that's like one of the worst cities.
But there's
in the
history
world,
and tradition there. Jacksonville came around 1995. So, yeah, I mean, Green Bay, although it is Green Bay and it's cold and it's miserable, it is the mecca of the NFL. It is, you know, Lambeau Field is a historic landmark.
Right.
I mean, that is the closest thing that the NFL has to a Wrigley Field or a Fenway, as far as a cathedral. The second part, the front office is a bunch of idiots. it's been this way. Now, Wayne Weaver owned the team. Wayne Weaver was a good guy. Wayne Weaver was a philanthropist and just a great dude, and he owned the Jaguars from their inception up until a few years ago when he sold to Shad Khan. Shad Khan is a businessman. I believe he's from Pakistan. I could be wrong. He also owns a big soccer team. I can't remember which one. He owns Wembley Stadium. He owns a bunch of stuff. He's like, dude, he's mega, mega, mega rich. Which has led to a lot of fears that maybe Jaguars move eventually because he has a lot of ties over in Europe. And Jaguars, you know, he's done a good job of scheduling them in London and building a base over there. But he also lets his son, he's the director of analytics. Tony Khan runs AEW Wrestling. If you guys are familiar with AEW Dynamite on Wednesday nights, Tony's that kind of kid where I'm rich and I liked wrestling, so I'm going to start my own wrestling promotion. And that's it. You know, my dad's a billionaire, and so this is what I'm going to do.
I mean, he's like Shane McMahon without the
legacy. I mean, how is he? How is he in any way qualified to be a director of analytics? I mean, maybe he is. Right, yeah. I don't know. But what are the odds that the owner's son just happens to be the most qualified person to run the analytics department for a sports franchise?
Sure.
Odds are not great.
I mean, basically, he is us playing fantasy football with actual millions of dollars. And actual players.
I mean, and this is what I don't get. You've got the shrewdness and the capabilities to become a billionaire. And then you get to the point of owning an NFL team, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'll leave a real – yeah, you just take care of this really important job, son. Then you decide to operate like a mom-and-pop store, which I don't get.
Right.
But they've also done things like have Tom Coughlin be the director of player personnel who game has passed him by.
Let's find the one coach who is totally out of touch with actual players. That's a good coach, but knows nothing about connecting with players and make him the director of player personnel.
to be quite frank, cannot connect anymore to a young black man.
Right.
Now, Tom Coughlin does a lot of good in Jacksonville. He lives there, and he does
Tom
a great.
Tom Coughlin is retired, JT. That's really what he's there for. He's retired.
Yeah, right. He has a golf thing every year to raise money for I can't remember the name of the charity, but it's a big thing there. And he is well loved in Jacksonville because, you know, he was a winning coach there. But he does not need. He was in over his head. He does not need to be doing it. More. Did you read the article where more guys like it's like twice from more than any other team. The amount of fines the players and the Jaguars
I've seen that. I don't know if I read the most recent article, but
like you're 5 minutes late for a team picture. I'm fining you $50,000. Stupid. Stuff like that. Yeah. Where you're just
that's
like,
where Leonard Fournette got in trouble a couple years, I think, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Coughlin's a former Marine and kind of shows.
Yeah.
Other things are like Doug Marrone has no business being an NFL head coach. You're probably listening to this. You probably don't know who Doug Marrone is.
Exactly.
There's a reason for that. He's never done anything meaningful in his whole life.
I'll say this. He's better than Bill O'Brien.
That's only because Bill O'Brien keeps finding out new ways to be stupid.
Bill O'Brien is pushing Jeff Fisher for the worst coach in my history. And Adam Gase.
Yeah, but how does he have they're getting into Marty Morningweg territory. Here's the thing. Doug Marrone, the Jaguars went 3-13, and they fired Gus Bradley and said, "No, we're going to keep the interim coach." When you keep somebody from a 3-13 team,
why did you keep an interim coach?
Never would you. Yeah, I mean that just never works well.
You could go like the Jaguars. I'm not saying you can afford to go out and get the best of the best, but you should be able to go get a college coach with some really interesting ideas that wants to try something
just
different.
Just try something.
And let him run. Let him run.
Look, a lot of people would love to coach in the NFL because there's only 32 jobs. You can NFL head coach. And
even if you're going to change him in 3 years, who cares? Like, it's the NFL. No coach keeps his job more than 4 years anyway.
They've got players there that don't want to be there. It's a sustained culture of losing. And it's not getting better anytime soon, at least not this year. You've got big names that are still going to be traded. Yannick Ngakoue, probably the best defensive end in football that no one talks about.
God bless you.
Yes, exactly. Yannick Ngakoue. And so he and Tony Khan are getting into a Twitter spat the other day. He's demanding to be traded again. It's an ugly situation.
And you just went through this last season with your standout cornerback.
With Jalen Ramsey,
Jalen Ramsey, yeah. And, I mean, and it seems like they did it with somebody else the year before. It just feels like one after another after another after another. And I mean, players hold out all the time. That's not unusual. It's unusual to see the frequency that the Jaguars are having this problem.
Yeah, it seems to be that they just don't know how to, I guess, handle egos and how to manage personalities. That seems to be a lot of the problem there. I mean, you're going to have people that are unhappy with their contract on every team. Now, it doesn't get to the level of public where you see the player and one of the vice presidents of the team getting into it publicly on Twitter.
Scottie Pippen.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, having just watched episode 2 of the Last Dance. But, you know, so it's one of those things. And as a Jaguars fan, it's like, when are we ever going to fix this loser's mentality? When are we ever going to operate?
As a Jaguars fan, it's got to be completely humiliating to be a Jaguars fan and look 100 miles down the road and recognize that they just signed the WWE World Champion to be their tight end.
Yeah. So Gronk going to Tampa Bay, which if you've ever been to Ybor City, you can totally understand why. That's a very Gronk kind of area.
It's like that Jacksonville, except totally different.
Yeah, it's Jacksonville with like stuff that's open past 10. It's fun. Ybor is totally different during the day. Now you can take your kids, and it was not. There's actually talk of taking the Rays Stadium and building a new one there in Ybor, very Camden Yards-esque. Which, if you ever go to Ybor City, oh my gosh, it'd be awesome.
Yeah,
couldn't be worse than where the Rays are now.
And for the record, Tampa Bay is the coolest city. That's not an island in all of
America. Yeah, it is awesome. Now, actually, you know, did you know there's not an actual Tampa Bay? That's a weird thing. But everybody says Tampa Bay, but that's just the greater area of Tampa.
Right. It's kind of like saying Washington, D.C. almost. Like
it's like New England.
Technically, yes, there's a Washington, D.C.
Like
but
if you said New England, like, yeah, it's like a general area. Yeah, Tampa is an awesome place. And the so it would be cool if they moved the Rays there. But you can go to Ybor during the day and everything's fine, dandy. The sun goes down, all bets are off in that place. Like, be advised. You might want to stay home. It's weird. But I don't know. I don't know what Gronk's got left. I don't know how much he loves football.
Yeah.
He's been hurt a lot. Had a lot of back problems.
But he's had a year to be. He's had a year to kind of get healthy and without any pressure. He won't be under Bill Belichick. And he's got a coach that loves to use a tight end. If there's any coach in the league that likes tight ends, it's Bruce Arians.
Oh, yeah. Bruce Arians, man, he can – as far as the passing game goes, there's not a guy better than Bruce Arians.
I also saw I believe it was Matthew Berry today, JT, that made a really great point, and that is this. Coronavirus and everything going on, we may end up with a shortened NFL season or at the very least, like, shortened preseason. So not a lot of time for Tom Brady – to create any kind of rapport with O.J. Howard or with even with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So if that's the case, Gronk, if for fantasy purposes, may be out of this world good because he's the one guy that Tom Brady knows and that knows Tom Brady, you know.
Sure.
And even if there's not a lot left in the tank, he's 6'7", 280 pounds, you know.
And that don't take a day off.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so even if he slowed down.
Yeah.
You know, that's still going to be awesome. I think they do need to shorten the preseason anyway.
I do too.
I mean, four games is just too much. If you try to watch an NFL preseason game,
I check out after the second one. So, you know,
it's so bad.
I like the first 2 minutes of the first one. And
yeah, because I'm like, who needs football?
And the first quarter of the second one, and then I'm ready for regular season games. You know, like, that's pretty much it.
So, yeah, you're like, oh, cool, football's on my TV again. And within 5 minutes, you're like, oh, God.
And you can't tell me that coaches don't already know who they're going to cut before preseason ever starts. I mean, there's like maybe one job on the whole team that they're actually paying attention to.
If you are writing for a team blog and you need to update people on who's getting that third tight end spot, then you're watching like the third preseason game. But that's it. That's the only people paying attention. They're like, who's going to be the sixth offensive lineman that they keep, you know? Or,
well, it's like you get like fantasy bloggers that are writing about, well, it looks like so-and-so is going to be really intricate in the passing game this year. And then the guy sees like two snaps the entire year because it was the preseason. And he's the only guy that was allowed to play on the field during the preseason.
So much of the NFL is you've got your starters because with the salary cap, you said, look, I've got my starters because if I've spent money on you, you're starting.
Right.
Because I only have so much money to spend.
End of story. Right.
Yeah, right. And so a lot of it is just shuffling out your depth chart and being like, okay, because how many people in the NFL, how many teams right now don't have a quarterback? I know we got the draft coming up. Most of them know where they're going.
If you got a $20 computer that somebody gave you from your great-great-grandma and you have a $5,000 computer at your house, which one are you firing up today? You're firing up the $5,000 one because you paid $5,000 for a freaking computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And
same way.
And it's one of those things where so a lot of the NFL preseason is just sorting out, like, are they going to keep three quarterbacks or two? Or, you know, so who gets the third quarterback spot between these two guys who you may have seen play in college before? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind
of
gross.
I'll be honest. Most of the preseason is about other teams taking a look and saying, oh, you know, if our running back gets hurt, we should, like, put that guy near the top. You know, like, our practice squad doesn't have this guy. I think that guy would be good to add to the practice squad, you know?
It'd be nice to have, just in case our first three running backs go down.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Gronk, Gronk's an interesting dude. My concern is I don't know how much he still cares about football or how much is he like, you know what, I can suck it up and get paid one more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I suck it up for a year and cash checks? Well, like, I can't blame him. I'd probably do the same thing, too. If someone's like, hey, do you want to come out of retirement? We'll give you, say, I don't know what he's making, but we'll say $10 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they tried Gronk.
Force it one more year.
Do you remember when they tried Gronk in the booth trying to call games?
Oh, yeah.
It was the most awkward, terrible.
He is an awkward fella.
He is
so awkward.
He's terrible.
He is like he's like a golden retriever that tries to be a frat boy, and it's the weirdest thing.
No, no, no. He's like a golden retriever in a priceless antiques store.
And it's just like,
and his tail's just hitting everything. Like, bam, 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 bam.
It's barely missing, and you're just going, oh, no. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, and you're 99% sure that he's fixing to say something completely inappropriate, It never quite comes out, but you're sure if you gave him a whole season, he would say something completely inappropriate.
I mean, honestly, like, you say he's, you know, had a year off to get better, but I think he spent that whole year, like, drinking Red Bull in the mornings and shooting fireball with his buddies out at Lake Tahoe.
And let's be honest, he's probably snorting cocaine the other part of the time.
I don't know if Gronk is a drug guy. I think he's just a party dude. Like, I think he's one of those guys that, like, to me, he seems to be so worried about physical appearance, he's more of a gym tan laundry GTL Jersey Shore type.
I can see that.
You know, where he's going to be so worried about, like, not hard drugs because he don't want to do anything to his body because he enjoys looking like he does.
Yeah, so, I bet he's taken ecstasy a few times.
Probably a couple times, like on accident, had done stuff hanging with the wrong dudes, you know?
Yeah. But he's like, here, take a hit of this joint, and it's like laced with something. And Gronk's like, what did I just do?
I see him more of like Jaeger bombs, Heineken's, techno music kind of dude, wearing white sunglasses.
Funneling at the age of 31, you know, like that's Gronk.
Definitely wears white sunglasses in the beach, you know?
Yeah.
Has white tennis shoes on. With board shorts down to his, you know, dressing like a 14-year-old, and he's got to be like 35 now. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
Different cat for sure.
And he's got like a different woman every time you see
him. He's such a bro, man. It's not even
a frat boy that never stopped being a frat boy for sure.
No, like hardcore. Yeah, and so it fits because he went to Arizona, right? So that really fits the West Coast, like Arizona State.
Oh yeah,
type of.
I got
dude.
A buddy that graduated from we were Call of Duty buds, and we became like good friends over time. And like he was a coach at Arizona on like in the grad program, and then became like he's worked at North Texas and several other places and helped do like recruitment videos for players and different things, and he knew Gronk and was buddies with him. And he said, yeah, everything you've seen about Gronk, 100%, he's completely insane. Like, 100%, that's Gronk. Like, it's not fake. It's not a brand. 100%, that's him.
Like, I'm pretty sure I played my last game of beer pong the night of we had a party for my college graduation. I don't think I touched it since then.
I'm pretty sure Gronk played beer pong last night.
Yeah. Well, I remember going to the Georgia-Florida game years after I graduated, probably 4 years after I graduated. And then I went to go meet up with some guys that were like, hey, we're tailgating over here. So I left and said, hey, I'll be back. I'm going to go see some buddies. And so there's some freshmen and then a guy who was in my graduating class, a fraternity brother of mine, and they're playing beer pong. And I'm like, dude, you're pushing 30, man. You got like, some new pledges. And I'm like, no, man, no, you can't. You can't be hanging around the pledges, dude. You're like 29 now. It's time to reevaluate everything.
That's weird. That's weird.
He's like, you don't want to play? I'm like, good. I'll just grab a beer and hang out, man.
Gronk's that guy that if he lives past 40, which is highly doubtful, but if he lives past 40, he's not going to know what to do with life. He's going to be that guy that, everyone's like, you're kind of like Jimmy Buffett. Like, you were cool when you were 30.
Oh, there'll be enough reality TV shows to keep Gronk afloat, I'm sure.
Oh, forever. Yeah, but it'll be painful. It'll be painful.
Oh, it'll be – it'll be like watching David Hasselhoff eat a cheeseburger off the floor. It'll be a train wreck. But life of Gronk, and he's 55-year-old Gronkowski learning how to be a granddad or something.
It's like Family Jewels. You know, Gene Simmons' Family Jewels.
Sure.
It'll be Gronk's Family Rings or something, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it'll be – it'll be something because he is such.
Except Gronk won't ever get married, so like I don't know, you know, like
yeah, he'll have kids. He'll have random kids around.
Oh, lots of random kids, but none that actually.
Or maybe he will be married. Maybe he'll be married to as some porn star wife and something strange, you know, something
Mia Khalifa, something like that.
Something I don't know who that is. I have to look that up. Hold on.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who she is except for the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo tried to get a date with her last year. I remember that. You know. So,
and Jimmy G's a good looking fella too.
Jimmy G, he shoots a shot. He's not afraid.
I would too if I looked like Jimmy G. He's a handsome dude.
Yeah, Jimmy G. Last year, I think it was at the end of a football game, maybe it was year four last, when a reporter came up to him and he's like, "Hey, girl, what's your name or whatever?" And
I remember that.
He was 100% flirting with that girl. 100%. And it was, yeah, and she was 100% digging it, even though she was married.
It was so cute. It was like, oh, man, awesome. Because if I was the good-looking quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, you best believe I'd be hitting on Aaron Andrews on the sidelines. Heck, yeah, I would. You know, because
was it Aaron Andrews? I can't remember
who it was.
It was somebody like that. Honestly, and I remember they were married. 100%.
I can't tell them apart. Like, we got rid of Kelsey Wingert and then replaced her with Kelsey Wingert.
Kelsey Wingert, so, 2.0.
I don't know. 100%. I don't know how these things work.
All right. Well, what else, fellas?
Hey, JT, I think you have a new segment for the show.
I do. So here's what I did. We got this thing called 90s Country Music Trivia. I think we have a theme song. Wait for that. Do we have a theme song?
90s Country Music Trivia. 90s Country Music Trivia. Chattahoochee Strawberry Wine. Check yes or no. Any man of mine is 90s Country Music Trivia time. Ho!
Unfortunately, we do.
Are we playing that? Did we play it? I don't know. That's post-production. Okay, so here's what I got for you guys. I've got five categories.
Okay.
Three questions each, ranked from 1, 2, 3, hardest or easiest to hardest. Okay, here's your five categories are Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn, John Anderson, John Michael Montgomery, and Kenny Chesney. Okay?
Wow.
So do you guys have a coin? Any of you guys have a coin flip to see who goes first? You can rock, paper, scissors it. I don't really care.
Ready, Josh? Rock, paper, scissors?
Coin. Are we doing 1, 2, 3, then go?
Rock, paper, yeah, ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Wait, I can't see your hand. Raise it up to the...
Sorry, hang on. Here we go.
Okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. I can't see your hand, Josh.
I got a scissors, buddy.
Scissors, all right, Josh. First. Okay.
You win, Josh.
Josh, take your pick. You got Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn, John Anderson, John Michael Montgomery, Kenny Chesney.
I'm going to go with Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson, would you like 1, 2, or 3?
One being the hardest or easiest?
One being the easiest, 3 being the hardest.
I'm going to go 3.
3. Okay. In the song Everything I Love, off the album Everything I Love, what three things are killing Alan Jackson? He lists three things in the song that are killing him. What are they?
Can you give us a teaser of the song, JT?
Yeah, can you like hum it or something?
Voice. Yeah, hold on. I got Spotify. I don't need to hum it. Hold on, give me a second.
Everything I love.
Everything I love. I'm trying to remember if I know this song or not. Oh, I do remember this.
Coffee keeps me up, and I can't sleep.
Yeah, that's a banger. That's
to bring that.
Yes,
bring that,
I remember it. I remember
bring
it.
That home to you,
man.
The biggest single off that album, I think, was "Between the Devil and Me." Remember that song?
Yeah, that was one of his later albums, right?
It's still '90s, but it's later '90s.
Oh, okay.
All right, Josh.
Man, I don't know.
On the album, Everything I Love, the song Everything I Love, what three things does he list that are killing? Mm-hmm. He says, Everything I Love is killing me, and then he lists the three songs.
Okay.
Three.
All right, I'm going to just guess, because I don't even know. My guesses are you, as in her.
Mm-hmm.
Me, as in, would that make sense? Everything's killing me. Everything I love is killing me. I'm just going to say you, money.
Mm-hmm.
Money's killing him. Everything I love is killing me. And music.
Okay.
You, money, and music.
Josh, that is incorrect. Kenny, would you like to try to steal?
I'm gonna see if I can get anything here.
This one is kind of hard.
I do think you is an option. I think what I eat and what I drink.
Kenny, you are more on the right path.
Okay.
Cigarettes, Jack Daniels, and caffeine. Jack Daniels, and caffeine. Which, honestly, if I saw Alan Jackson smoking
so
a cigarette,
clean.
Would that be
right?
Like,
right. He's so clean.
If I saw him, Alan, like, puffing a Marlboro.
Hey, what, fellas, I'll tell you this. Dirtier singer than Conway, Alan Jackson.
You've said that before. I don't know.
He openly sings about banging Kenny, one woman his whole life.
Yeah, man.
He's still dirty. I don't care.
No, stop. You're dying
on
that. Hop
in my
like,
truck and I'll take country, you for a wild ride.
Kenny likes to think that Country Boy is like some gay, not gay, but like.
Could some, be. We don't know. Could it be?
He likes to think it's some porn.
Let me read you the lyrics. Excuse me, ma'am. I saw you walk in. Here we I go. Turned around. I'm not a stalker.
Here we go.
Where are you going? Maybe I can help you. My tank is full, and I'd be obliged to
take
you.
He's talking about his truck.
We all know
he's a Christian man. Alan is a Christian man.
I got a four-wheel drive. Climb in my bed. I'll take you for a ride.
He's
Who invites a woman
truck,
to ride in the
Kenny.
Bed of
if
her truck?
If he was that dirty, he would have raped that girl back in Chattahoochee. Okay, we all know that.
Up city streets, down country roads. Yeah. I can get you where you need to go because I'm a country boy.
You need to stop. You need to stop right now. He settled for a burger and a grape snow cone, as me and
You're
JT have
good
talked about
sitting
before.
Sitting in my right seat. Buckle up. I'll take you through the five speeds. Wind it up or I can slow it way down in the woods. Or right up.
Maybe he's
town.
Actually talking.
Yeah, he's talking about a Pontiac.
Yeah, Buick Saloon, homie. All right,
big 35s whining on the asphalt, grabbing mud and slinging up some red dirt. Cause I'm a country boy. My muffler's loud, dual thrush tubes. I crank the music. The tone gets real good.
He's talking about his truck, man.
Let me
get
know
your,
when
get
we're
your
getting
mind out
close.
Of the gutter.
You can slide on out, or we can head on down the road.
Mm-hmm. If you play it backwards, he talks about. Vagina. All right, exactly. So Alan Jack, Kenny, Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn, John Anderson, JMM, Kenny Chesney. Which way are you going?
I'll take
Kenny Chesney. You want one, two, or three?
Give me a
two.
Two.
Okay. In the song, She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy, what does she bring Kenny?
Ooh. A glass of sweet tea.
Close. Close.
Oh,
Josh, you got any? Can you help him out with this?
Hang on.
I'm trying to not cheat.
Yeah, don't be looking at the lyrics.
A bucket of chicken.
Can you guys combine your answers together? Because it was a bucket full of chicken and a
chicken.
Big cold jug of sweet tea.
I knew it. Okay.
There you go. Josh, you're up. Which one do you want?
Give me John Michael Montgomery.
JMM. Okay.
Let me just do number one.
Number one.
Cause
this is easy. I think you got this.
I'm intimidated by threes right now.
You should.
Last one.
Intimidator, baby.
Story of his life.
So number three is all about is intimidation. What does JMM swear by?
By the moon and the stars. Shit. By the moon and the stars.
Oh my God, he doesn't know. He doesn't know.
And the stars in the sky?
And
the moon and the stars in the sky. We'll give it to
you. Yeah, okay, I got it. Took me a minute. Sorry, guys.
All right, Ken, you are up.
Give me Brooks and Dunn 3.
Brooks and Dunn 3. Okay, here you go. In the song, Mama Don't Get Dressed Up for Nothing.
Oh, God.
What is Mama wearing?
I don't even know that song.
You don't know Mama Don't Get Dressed Up for Nothing?
Uh-uh.
I don't know that song either, so this
what?
Is
What? Hold on. Wait, how do you guys not know?
I don't know this song.
Is this like a Brooks and Dunn deep cut?
No. Hold on. Let me play it for you.
I'm telling you. I don't know.
Very, very 90s drum beat.
Yeah.
Mama don't get dressed up for nothing.
Okay. I have no idea.
No idea.
So,
Josh, any idea?
I will randomly guess her church dress.
What's the question again?
What does Mama wear and Mama don't get dressed up for nothing?
A cut off jean shorts and a tank top.
It was a low-cut dress and knee-high boots. Why do I think Ashlyn knows that? I'm assuming she does. It's basically a song about his wife getting all dressed up and be like, bitch, take me out.
I was thinking like actual
mom. I don't get dressed up for nothing. That's where I'm going out on the town tonight.
Oh.
I got you. Okay. It's kind of like, did I shave my legs for this?
Basically, yeah. It's the wife going, we're going out tonight.
I'm totally going to fail because these bands were not my wheelhouse.
Give me John Michael for two, please.
John Michael for two. Okay. There you go. In what county does the auction take place?
Oh!
Brumby County.
What was that?
Brumby
County is incorrect. Kenny, I went down to the Brumby.
I thought it was Brumby. It's not Brumby or Brundy?
Kenny, would you like to take this one?
I always thought he was saying Brundy. I went down to the Brunt. Is it Brownie?
Hush, Josh. I went.
I swear I thought he was saying Brundy.
I know this, and I can't think of what it is.
I know the whole word.
Now I'm thinking of what Josh said. I can't get the real one in my head.
Brundy?
I went down to the Brundy. Josh keeps saying Brundy, though. Brumby?
I went down to the Brundy.
I don't know, JT.
You throw something. I mean, there's no penalty for missing, so.
I don't know. I can't. I'm not going to get it, so.
You're not going to throw nothing. You're not going to I'm not throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. Grundy. The Grundy County.
I should have thrown it. That's what I thought. Off. And I convinced myself it was wrong. Grundy. I should have gone with it.
The name of the song is called Grundy. Sold. Parentheses, Grundy County. Auction.
I should have guessed that. I'm an idiot.
Grundy County. Ken, it's your choice.
Give me Alan Jackson for two.
Alan Jackson for two. In Summertime Blues. What was the politician's response?
Ooh, you're too young to vote.
I'll give it to you. Okay, yeah, I love to help the son.
Well done.
Too young to vote.
Well done.
He said, quote, love to help you, son, but you're too young to vote. Okay, right now we are tied up at 1.5 to 1.5.
Oh, that's so sad.
Cut the tension with a knife. You're excited. You should feel these nipples. Okay, folks. Josh Brown, you're on the clock. Where would you like to go?
We got Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn. Who else?
John Anderson, JMM, and Kenny Chesney.
Give me John Anderson for three. Going
John Anderson for three. This is a good one for you. You'll have the song, Seminole Wind.
Yeah.
Name me the three Florida landmarks mentioned in Seminole Wind.
What?
In the lyrics of Seminole Wind, he mentions three places in the state of Florida. Can you tell me which three they are? He is praying about this.
I think I could get part of these anyway.
Okeechobee.
Okeechobee. We'll give you Okeechobee. There's one.
The land of the Seminoles. That doesn't.
These are specific places that you can go to, not just generic. These are. Capital letters.
Yeah.
There is a time limit on this, Josh. These people are listening at home.
Trying to remember the verses, man.
If you don't hurry up and answer, people are going to delete this podcast and tune in to Mansplain Baseball Elsewhere.
Oh, shit.
They have the ghost of Ernie Johnson.
Mickano Springs. All the way up to the Mickano Creek.
Nope, incorrect.
Seminole Creek. Is it Seminole Creek?
No. Seminole is not part of it.
Can I steal here, JT? JT, can I steal here?
Kenny, what you got?
Mickano Hill. What? Yes, it is.
It's Mickano something. It's Mickano.
All the way up to Mickano here.
Mickano.
That's the way I'm always saying it.
You guys give up.
Still. Mickanoville?
There's the Everglades.
Kenny?
There's Everglades. Two. There's
we got
Everglades.
Okeechobee. We've got Everglades. And you guys are hunting around the third one.
I thought it was Mick and O'Heal, so I always thought it was.
All the way up to Crick and O. Crick and O.
Now you're just making up words.
I don't know.
You guys do well. All right, it's Micanopy. Some people call it Micanopy. Micanopy. It's right outside of Gainesville.
Oh, okay.
Micanopy, Micanopy. So different ways to say it.
That makes sense. I've always thought it was like Mick and O'Heal. I thought it was like a Micanopy, Indian name.
And of course, Everglades like and Okeechobee right. were also mentioned.
Hey, I got Everglades. Okay. I got Everglades right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're still tied.
So who's up? That was
that'd be my turn.
Was it Ken? Okay.
All right. Give me Kenny Chesney for what? What's
we got
that?
One and three available.
I'll take three.
Three. Okay. In the song "What I Need to Do," where does Kenny's baby sister live?
What I Need to Do. What song is that?
What I Need to Do. Turn this car around. Drive as fast as I can till I see the lights of my hometown. Run to her. This is pre-Beach Kenny Chesney now. This is 90s.
I don't know.
This is before he became the next Buffett.
Rip me. I don't know. Josh, go for the steal.
Any idea?
Without looking it up.
That was a good song.
I like that I can see that Josh is looking online in the reflection on his glasses.
Oh, sorry.
See,
sorry.
I can see.
Sorry, I'm not cheating. I'm
I can see lyricsgenius.com in the reflection of his glasses.
I swear to God, I was just funny tweet. I'm the worst. I don't know.
Okay.
Kenny's baby sister lives in his former college hometown of Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh.
Knoxville.
I don't even know that song, so.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't either, man.
Where were you guys? Okay. Who's up? Josh, is that you?
Give me John Anderson for two, please.
John Anderson for two. It's swinging. Who is the little girl in the neighborhood? What was her name?
Just a swinging.
And I really think they were just swinging in the song. I don't think it was anything malicious.
Just a swinging.
Just knowing the other John Anderson songs, it might have been malicious. He's not one.
It
to
could
really
have been, but I mean, this was like.
The thing
was
about
like,
the song is, I got the other songs in my head now, and now I can't get a new song in my head, right? So I've got Seminole Wind in my head, and I can't get.
I think
out
John
of my
Anderson
head.
Was like 12 when he wrote this, so I think it was pretty pure.
I know. I just should know this song.
Remember, she sure was looking good.
Hum the song for me, real quick.
Hold on, man.
How does it go?
JT humming a song is not going to help you, Josh. Let's be 100% honest here.
Yeah.
You're still not going to recognize it. Wait.
Hold on. Let me see if I can pull
this up here. Dump, dump.
Rocking. Try not to have a good time with this one. Yep, not giving it away.
Her name is Charlie
Culberson?
Her name is Cherry something. It's Cherry or Charlie? Damn it.
Could it be Charlene?
Girl in our neighborhood. Her name is Charlie. Charlie Thanson? Charlie.
you were on the right track. I'll tell you that. You're on the right track.
Her name is Carly. Carly.
Do you have a final
Chanson.
Answer here? You just gonna Carly Rae Jepsen?
Yeah, that's my final
Ken,
answer.
Ken, you want to help him out here? Can you finish
I
this
looked
off?
It up. I'm not gonna steal
oh,
it.
Oh, you looked
it
up.
So I looked it up.
What?
I didn't know it. Weak-willed. I didn't know it, so I looked it up.
Charlotte Johnson.
Damn it.
I just think it's weird that her brother was inside eating chocolate pie. It's just weird. Her brother had diabetes. Mm. All right.
I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. Let's see. I'm up.
Golly.
I don't think Boggy's been listening since the coronavirus started anyway, so I think we're good.
Okay. What? Where did that come from? Give me Montgomery.
Hey, man, we got number three left.
Give me John Michael for three.
Okay. We're going to take it back to the skating rink here with this. Couple skate only. And I Can Love You Like That. John Michael Montgomery says he never does what?
Oh, God. I can love you like that. I don't know. I don't remember the verses well enough. So, Josh, fire away.
He's thinking on it.
I'm no Cinderella. I'm no Casanova. But I swear this much is true.
This is the greatest, worst podcast content.
Right? You gotta let the edit here.
We know absolutely nothing about country music, despite acting like we do.
It's 1.5 to 1.5. We are.
Yeah. What's the question again?
Okay. In I Can Love You Like That, John Michael Montgomery says he never does what?
I'm no Casanova. I swear this much is true.
Josh, singing the same words over again is not going to make you know it more. I'm just saying.
He never does what? He never takes her for granted?
Final answer?
I don't know. Yeah.
I never make a promise I don't intend to keep.
Tend to keep.
So when I say forever, forever's
what I mean.
All right, so JMM category is killed. Okay, we are out of JMMs.
All right, we're going to have to wrap this up in
two more
questions.
We only got a couple more. We're good.
Let's finish the round.
The rest, you guys left a lot of easy ones out here, so I think we'll be fine.
All right, Josh, go fire away, Joshua.
We got Alan Jackson for number one. Or two?
We got an Alan Jackson number one. Easy enough. You're going to get this in a heartbeat because you already said it. In Chattahoochee, what does Alan Jackson settle for?
A burger and a grape snow cone.
A burger and a grape snow cone it is.
Man, that's like the easiest question ever. Rigged. It's rigged, I tell you. What else have we got?
Ken, we got two in Brooks and Dunn. We do have a John Anderson left. And we've got Kenny Chesney.
Highest points in Brooks and Dunn that I can get.
Highest points in Brooks and Dunn is give me their first names.
Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn.
Wow.
Kix and Ronnie Dunn. There you go. All right.
Hey.
He ties it right back up. Yeah, people get Ronnie Dunn, but Kix is a it's a cool name.
Yeah.
I like it. Kix.
If he didn't have such terrible hair, he would be a cool country singer.
And why did he only sing on the songs that weren't going to be singles?
Yeah. Right.
Like, if you listen to Brooks and Dunn albums, every single they had is Ronnie Dunn. And the other filler songs, that's, you can
see. Kix was a lot better, actually.
I agree.
Ronnie Dunn looks like a
Ronnie,
woman.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Ronnie should have been a solo singer and tried to copy Vince Gill.
He did. He came out with a solo album after... Okay, so we've got one question left from Brooks and Dunn, one question left from John Anderson, and one left in Kenny Chesney.
Right,
I think you'll get all of these.
Give me the highest Brooks and Dunn. You give me a Brooks and Dunn one, whatever you got.
A Brooks and Dunn. In Boot, Scoot, and Boogie, our favorite song ever, what does Ronnie Dunn want a shot of?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I can't. I'm having a hard time hearing the fucking words of these songs because we've got so many going on.
Here we go, do-si-do. Come on, baby, let's go. Boot scooting. Out in the country, past the city limit sign.
There's a honky-tonk.
There's an old gay bar with a lot of hot dudes. I think that's
how it works. A shot of that redhead yonder looking at me.
Come on, a shot of that redhead yonder.
There you go. All right. Let's go.
Yeah, this one's tied up now.
Give me the.
You want John Anderson? You want Kenny Chesney?
I want Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney. All right. What two notable people are name dropped in the song How Forever Feels?
Gas pedal steak. I can feel the speed from my head to my toes.
I think I know this one.
You just sing the whole song.
I gotta like figure it out. I don't know.
It's a 3-minute break between each question, so you guys can sing the whole song.
Richard Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Alan Jackson.
It's just two. There's just two.
Oh, is that it?
There's Richard two. Petty? There's two. There's two people that are name dropped. You got one is Richard Petty.
Now I know how Richard Petty feels. Now I know how Jimmy Buffett feels.
There you go.
It is Jimmy Buffett.
Got it. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. You got your two. Okay, Josh, for the win and the last question, it's John Anderson. Number one, I think you got this. According to John Anderson, your love is better than what?
I want to steal.
No,
I want to steal.
No,
I want to steal.
The pressure. The pressure.
I want to steal. Please let me steal.
Your love is better than Money in the Bank.
Woo!
He steals it under pressure. Felt it. There you go. John Anderson, Money in the Bank. Bang. I think it was bang. That's how he spelled it. But
congrats.
We'll accept
bank. Congrats.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was 90 music. 90s country music trivia.
Congrats, Josh. I appreciate you as a competitor.
You were a great opponent, my friend.
I suck at 90s trivia in country music.
Well, we both got about the same score.
I'm just saying. Oh, fellas. All right, let's wrap it up with this. Are you guys interested in rewatching the 1995 World Series? Because apparently it's going to be played in its entirety.
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I'm not geeking out about it. Maybe I shouldn't be.
I'm not as much because the other day they had the Greg Maddux special, and I watched Game 2. And then a couple days before that, they showed Game 6. And so I kind of saw the two most important, I think, games from that series. So I'm kind of – I don't want to see the rest of them. I mean, Game 2 was Maddux pitching, I think, a two-hitter through 8 innings. And then, of course, Game 6, the 1-0 clincher. So, no, not really, because I feel like I've seen all I need to see.
Okay. All right. I'm a little interested because it's been a long time. I think I would kind of like to see it, you know? But anyway, last but not least, fellas, did you see the tweet exchange between Donald Trump and Lamar Jackson?
This is weird.
It is
no,
weird.
No, I've only heard about it.
Apparently, so apparently what happened was Saturday afternoon, Jackson quote tweeted a video of his former Louisville teammate, Jair, I'm not sure exactly how to say his name, Alexander's reaction to the reigning NFL MVP being drafted. It was a beautiful moment. When Alexander, hyped as he could be, jumping around and fist pumping. And then Donald Trump quote tweeted it and said, "Really nice to see this, and what a great pick." And Lamar Jackson quote tweets it and says, "Truz, T-R-U-Z-Z, which Jackson recently included in a massive chest tattoo, which loosely translates to I'm agreeing with you." And he said, "Truz, Trump, Truz." And that was like his tweet back and forth. And people got mad that Lamar Jackson was pleasant with the president. But
wow. Shocking.
That's kind of like our buddy Jeff Donahue getting blocked by Eric Cole just because he interacts with us on Twitter. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, like any, literally anybody.
Anybody. And you're blocked 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure John Howard is blocked. Who blocks John Howard? Yeah. Yeah.
They blocked Michael. No. Brian Renfro, they blocked his patron money because he was friends with us on Twitter.
Yeah. How ridiculously
and
stupid.
Brian was like a high tier like patron member to their podcast. Mm-hmm. And they blocked. Yeah. Because I think
that
he retweeted one of our tweets once.
Brian, we appreciate you being our patron. Thank you. And
We do.
if it, he did, and gave he us did. Credit, and gave us credit for it. What a stud! Shout out to Brian Renfro. And yeah. Hey, if you want to be as cool as Brian Renfro is, you can be. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. That's /Nakahoma Nation, right, JT? And you too can become a patron. You at we have like a $5 level, a $9 level, and I believe it's about a $21 level, something like that. Where you get a free T-shirt at the highest level. To go with it, you get a shout out on the show at the $9 level, and at the $5 level, you get your own Nakahoma Nation sticker. They're actually really cool. It's like a vinyl decal type sticker. It's really cool.
They're pretty cool.
But yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Thanks for listening, Nakahoma Nation. We appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Roll Tide.
So what y'all think about being able to see each other?
That's kind
of... Yeah, right?
I think it gave us a lot better flow to the show. I feel like I didn't talk near as much, like, over the top of people.
Yeah, I think... I know what you mean.
I think It helps being able to, like, pick up cues from you, because I can see when y'all feel like you got something to say.
Right.
So
right.
I don't feel like I have to, like, fill the empty spot, you know? Like, I can tell... Oh, Josh has something right now, or JT. I think it makes a big difference. So, cool. Oh,
so as we were.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Options Guy and Spiritual Advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.